a brief rewind of the Gonzaga game. Is there light at the end of the tunnel? And we preview Notre Dame. Welcome to the Coach Jason Williford Show. I'm Mark Jerome, and the other gentleman on top, or depending on what your screen looks like on the side, is Jason Williford. Thank you everyone for joining us. Coach, extended day for you. We appreciate the flexibility. We know you just got into Indiana. It's late where you are. It's late where I am. How you feeling?
It's just late, period, Mark. I'm good. I apologize for being late. We got in, there was a delay with the plane. Then we had dinner once we got here. Snow blowing like crazy. I don't even know how we landed. You could barely see the runway landing. And then we had dinner, watched film as a team, and then we met as a staff. So I'm just really just getting back to my room. So sorry about
that. We appreciate your flexibility. I know it's been a really long day. What time did you guys end up leaving today?
We wheels up. It was about, I want to say I text you guys right about 6:15, somewhere around there. Wheels up, and then it was like an hour and a half flight. And then just trying to get everything onto the buses with all the snow and sat down, had a meal, like I said, watched film. And so it's been a long day.
Let's go get back to Gonzaga. And speaking of film,
Do we have to discuss this?
Look, all right. So let's be real.
I want to put this game in the rear view. Just put it away and let's move on. But go ahead.
Let's talk about it for a minute. In the last 3 to 4 years, how many times have you guys lost badly? I can think of Purdue last year. I can think of Florida. I can think of UMBC. Right.
Yeah, but at least those were postseason. We got to the tournament, Mark. We keep this up. There is no March. We keep this up.
Not Purdue next year, last year, but
Purdue was early. So I can recall since I've been here, Purdue last year, and then the Tennessee game when Gil and Brogdon and those guys were with us. We were at Tennessee, and it was kind of the start of our blocker mover. We evolved to that offense, and that obviously has worked well for us to date. But prior to that, Tennessee put it on us. It was ugly. So we've had a couple of those.
The only other one I can think of in the last 4 years is at North Carolina.
Wasn't quite the same though.
But it was they dominated the game.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It was a struggle.
It wasn't a 50 piece.
No.
I mean, that Gonzaga game felt like I got beat by 100. I mean, it was awful.
So what was the problem? Let's go back for a second. You've talked about this team right before the season started, and your big concern was
defense. Yeah.
The defense is not ready. There's not an athletic big. Guys haven't had enough time to gel, and we're not there yet.
And I obviously you saw all of what have been my concerns. And I thought defensively we struggled. And then I just thought, obviously we struggled defensively, but I thought there were guys that just had deer in the headlight looks. And you know, it was a big stage for a lot of guys, first time competing at that level against that caliber. I shouldn't say that level, but that caliber of team. They jumped on us. So before you know it, it's already a 10, 12 point game. We turned the ball over. I want to say we turned the ball over our first three or four possessions. I mean, it was ugly. And so just not a good way to start a game. Especially against that type of team. But give them all the credit. Offensively, I don't know if I've seen a team with as much freedom and kind of just, it's almost like they've been playing together for 3, 4, 5 years, all of them. I mean, they have gelled offensively.
That team is good right? They're good because they have older guys who are really talented, and they have a great balance of older guys who are really talented with experience and young guys who are really talented too.
And guys who know their role. I mean, they got good role guys who embrace their role, know their role, and they let the guys that can produce. I mean, that says a lot.
I still think the team 2 years ago, that Gonzaga team 2 years ago, would beat this team by 10 to 15 points.
It's hard pressed for me to say that, but I
look who they have in the league. They have two guys in the league at 6'8", 6'9", 6'10", who are super athletic, super talented, who were first round draft picks, early round draft picks, who are making impacts in the NBA right now, right? They were talented, and they had guards that could shoot. They were balanced then too. Hey, listen, here or there, whatever. Listen, we can debate that. Like, we can debate
Kisper, if Kisper shoots the ball the way he shot the ball against us the rest of this year, there's a lot of teams that will pay him a lot of money to play at the next level for his ability to shoot the ball and from the range he was shooting the ball from. He shot it from NBA.
He did. So with Kispert shooting that well and the other guys, Timmy played a great game, they were a very good team and they played very well, right? Is that normally going to happen for them? And against you guys? You guys played them 10 times. Right now,
if anyone shoots the ball the way they shot the ball, it's going to be that's a rough night for most teams. I think for us, if we had to do it over again, one, we limit the turnovers, take care of the ball, be sounder with the ball. We gave them at least 20 points in points off turnovers, at least. It could be close to 30. And then do a better job ball screen defense. It sounds easier, you know, as me just sitting here having watched film, but there were things that we just didn't do that we normally do, and that did not look like a pack line defense. So we've got work to do.
So is that a game where you spent 10 hours watching film, or is that a game where you spent 3 hours?
No, I've watched that game three times. I've broken down individual clips and you have to grow and learn from this game, and then you put it aside and you move forward. I mean, you can't dwell on it, but it's a game where I think we have to be honest and real about what happened. And then we gotta make sure to the best of our ability that doesn't happen again.
So one, you watched the game three times and you talked about turnovers and a lot of turnovers, right? Kihei had six. On the other hand, Kihei played his tail off. I sent his dad a text saying how impressed I was with him.
If Kihei doesn't play the game he played, it'd have been a 100-point loss for us. I mean, I'm exaggerating, but Kihei was not the issue. I've read some stuff and I try not to read a lot of stuff, but you know, he had six turnovers, but he had turnovers where he was being aggressive and trying to make stuff happen. I thought he was one of the few guys that competed and brought the energy that you have to have in games like that. The competitive spirit I thought he had. And it wasn't because of Kihei that we got blown out of the gym. Kihei did everything in his power to keep us in and try to keep us in game. And I thought he guarded Suggs. I mean, that kid's a pro. He held him to 0 points until about 12, 10 minutes in the second half. So Kihei is far from the problem that we're facing.
I thought he was fantastic attacking the basket. He's 5'9", going against bigs, laying
them he had the biggest heart on the team in that game. And I think, you know, and we've talked to the other guys and they've got to bring it. They've got to play with the heart in the competitive spirit that he plays with.
how much of a difference does that make, having guys play with that competitive spirit?
And it makes a ton of difference. I mean, you may not be as skilled as Gonzaga from, you know, one through five, but if you play and you bring that kind of effort, that effort will keep you in games. I mean, it you know, just doing the little things and trying to do the stuff that we ask will keep you in games against that type of talent. But if you don't bring that effort against that talent, you got no shot.
So during the halftime show, I think we were down 13, right? And after the game.
And we had done a pretty good job to crawl back and get it to 13, yeah.
Exactly. At some point, where the halftime show was Chris Havlicek, Dougie Fresh, Zach Carey, I'm not sure. Sometimes we have Coach Phony Bennett on. Sometimes we have other guests on. And have raised the point, at some time throughout the course of the game, if a defense isn't working, if an offense isn't working, do you throw in a wrinkle? Do you make it a different adjustment? And I think some of the other guys, and T-Dubs, of course, was on, our producer, I do everything. And we made the point, sort of, one, T-Dubs made the point was, I'm not sure how much they practiced, had a chance to practice other schemes. And my point was, how much do guys need to get better at the pack line, right, and continue to learn it? But, and I hear everybody's point, is there a time when you say, okay, something's not working in the course of a game, we need to make a little bit of adjustment?
Well, I mean, we're not going to not play man-to-man. We're going to play pack line, man-to-man defense. You're like, could you play zone? Could you do this? Could you do that? Yeah, maybe, but that's not who Tony is. That's not what we're going to do. We're going to get better at our man-to-man. And I've said it before, you have to go through real game settings and get game reps of our defense in order to get better at our defense. Every day in practice is one thing, but we've got a ton of new faces, a lot of guys with new roles within what we're doing, and they've got to get game reps against that type of competition, that caliber of competition. And until you go through it, I mean, Coach Sanchez and I have talked over the years. I mean, it takes about a year before those guys truly, truly understand and get it. I mean, I don't know if you talked to Ty about it, but I mean, Ty didn't get it his first year right away. You know, it takes some time. It takes some getting used to. But we need that learning curve to be expedited for these guys, because we miss Braxton and Mamadi. I mean, we miss that type of guy on the floor who could guard multiple spots and do some stuff. And so, and not having that type of athlete, we've got to be really good in our position and understanding of our pack principles.
One of the things that T-Dubs raises all the time about the pack line and just help defense man to man, and some of the things I've talked to Ty about, is and T Dubs spoke with Devin about it quite often, instincts. Right? Guys just being ready to rotate, right? Based on
the anticipation. The anticipation is where the reps come. You know, the more reps, the more you begin to anticipate and you can move quicker. And yeah, all of that.
All right. So can it be fixed?
Yeah. It ain't doomsday. And listen, it was one game against a really good team. Now, if Notre Dame comes out and they spank us by 50 and Virginia Tech spanks us by 50, then we can maybe start talking doomsday scenarios. But until then, you know, we're in the gym. We're working on all of that. And we'll be better. We'll be better for having gone through that.
All right. In addition to Kihei, can you think of other bright spots? Like, I think Caden, his aggressiveness was tremendous. He made a diving deflection at one point.
No question, Mark. I clipped some of his effort plays and sent him some video. And I mean, he tips a ball out. Trey Murphy hits a three. Like just being active. And knows he was a bright spot, obviously. I thought McCoy played hard when he got some minutes when he came in. I mean, those guys, it was just a different energy when they were on the floor. You know, unfortunately, we didn't shoot it all that great. But that was, you know, that they played good defense and they shot lights out. So the shooting will come. I mean, we got good shooters. Jay's a shooter, Sam's a shooter, Trey's a shooter. Those guys shoot the ball well. It's just a matter of getting them better looks and different opportunities. But I think they're all still, we're still trying to figure out pieces, and I think they're all just trying to figure out how they play and gel together.
After the game, what was the mood like? Was there, were guys completely demoralized? Were guys angry? Were some guys upset? Were some guys like, Kihei said it. Kihei is the one guy, well, J2, right? Were the two guys that have won a national championship. Like, how many people can actually say that in their life?
Very few.
I don't know what the percentage is. Maybe it's
very few.
1%, less than 1% that could have ever played college basketball.
How many teams are in college D1?
350, 355, 360.
And one team wins the championship.
Every year.
And look at how many teams have won multiple championships. I mean, there are very few schools and programs that have won. You know, so, you know, very few kids have gotten the opportunity to do that. It's special.
So with a guy like Kihei, who's clearly intense and clearly super competitive, who experienced such success his first year,
right.
Now his team is struggling. And he seems like after last game, he may be emerging as the leader of this team.
Right.
What was his mood like after the game?
I mean, it was, I mean, obviously we were all disappointed in the performance. He even jumped the guys at halftime. I mean, he showed those leadership qualities that you want to see. It was disappointment. But there was also a sense of, hey, keep your heads up, let's stay together. And you know, that's who Tony is. I mean, we're gonna work and figure this out together. But it was a quiet locker room. I thought there was a whole lot of, you said it's some self-reflection going on in that locker room. Like, okay, let me step back and look in the mirror and, you know, individually guys have to look at themselves and, you know, take some ownership. But then collectively, we got to stay together and be ready to grow and learn from that.
Yep. What words were offered to somebody like Jay when you said you looked at film and you spoke to some guys privately or sent?
Yeah, you know, it's just, Be assertive and aggressive, and that's what I've been saying to him. And I think he got frustrated, obviously, with the fouls. But there were times I think when he made assertive plays. Okay, that's who we need to see that and be that more consistently. And I've talked to him. You know, Tony's talked to him, but just being aggressive,
yep,
and looking for your opportunities, and quite honestly, let's throw you the ball down closer to the paint on the block, and let you got post moves. You can go to work in there. So I think, you know, we're going to try to do that.
I don't remember the exact sequences, but I thought Jay started out really aggressively. He had two blocks. He had a great low post move. And he was about to, seem like he was about to make another low post move when a help defender came over and stole the ball from him and may have bumped him.
On the, but it looked like
he was just, I was just happy he was aggressive.
Yeah.
Really.
No, but his His rim protection was also a positive in that game. He protected, he came back, blocked shots. I actually thought that fourth foul was a bad call. I thought he met the ball, met him up top and got all ball on that. But again, that's neither here nor there. Right. It's still, at that point, it was a 30-point game, so it really didn't matter.
Two things about players. One, I thought a couple of guys looked like they weren't, like it was a big stage, playing number one team, and sometimes that could be nerve-wracking as heck.
No doubt. Right? No doubt.
That's scary. That could be, guys are going out there for the first time, national TV.
I don't know, scary, but more or less, there were nerves, for sure. Some nervous jitters, but I'm reluctant to say our guys were scared. They just, they were nerves.
Okay. I also want to make the point that I'm upset with the fan base using social media to be critical of 18, 19, 20, 21, 22-year-old kids. That really
I try not to read all of that, Mark. And you know, I've got my Twitter and I've got my Instagram and I'm on Facebook and you know, I happen to click on stuff and I'll catch it from time to time. I see some of that stuff and it goes with the territory. I think is you have to have thick skin. I probably couldn't have done it in this era, that the social media era. I would have posted or said some stuff I probably shouldn't as an 18, 19-year-old that would have got my butt in trouble. And I would have gone right back at some of the fans, but that's just my nature. But I think the kids, they understand, you know, what it entails, and you got to take the good with the bad. And, you know, you move on. And it's tough though on some kids, and we try to tell them put those blinders and put the earmuffs on.
So that was my next question. Two things. One, this the writing on social media is indelible, and it's painful to some kids. I remember staying up till 12:31, 2 o'clock in the morning when someone wrote something up tie, and I was furious and I wanted to beat up everybody that had anything to say about my kid, right? I remember cursing somebody out, a Syracuse fan who was talking trash about him. I remember after the Auburn game, writing it was a former, I guess, UVA, I don't know if he was a writer or alum who was now a writer with Alabama, and getting cursing him out after he wrote something really nasty after the Auburn game. Right. And I know you can't do that. Right. So at some point, Virginia fans were over tie. And what I did actually was I friend requested them, like if they did on Facebook or they did on Twitter. Right. But it's painful. And even talked about it with him. He was like, oh, yeah, my freshman and sophomore year, if I would read that stuff, it was really painful by my time.
And you got to allow the parents to handle all that. Like you guys filter that. But we do. We've had to tell those guys, you know, you put your earmuffs on, you put your blinders on, and you kind of just stay with your head in the ground and you just go through your process and don't allow, it's easier said, like I said, easier said than done, to not allow that stuff to affect you, but kids read it all the time.
Can you tell when it's impacting a kid? When the social media criticism is having an impact on a kid?
I think you can tell when the kid is not himself. I don't know if I always associate that with, you know, the stuff they're reading on social media. I mean, they're going to class. They've got all, you know, you got all kind of stuff you're trying to handle, girlfriends and school and family issues, and you know, forget. We hadn't even talked about social media. Now you got to add that on top of all this stuff that they got to handle. So you definitely could tell when there's something off with a kid. But I don't always equate that to the social media. Sure. You know, we just try to talk in general about sticking to the basketball process and being focused on what it is individually you need to do, and then collectively what we need to do to be the best, you know, UVA basketball team we can be.
And not to say it's always all bad, because when the team is winning, and even sometimes when they're losing, people do appreciate them, right? And they are seen as the BMOC, right? And I'm sure they appreciate that, and they value
it. They appreciate all of that. I mean, like I said, you got to be able to take it. You know, when you suck, you suck. You got to, you know, people aren't afraid to tell you you suck. But when you're good, they'll tell you. But I think you just got to put it in its rightful place.
But when you play for UVA and high level programs, you don't ever really suck, right? Maybe you had a bad game.
We sucked the other night.
Well, you went against a really good team and they played really well and you didn't play your best. Okay.
Yeah.
That doesn't necessarily give someone freedom to use their pen as a weapon and assault you.
Some people.
Yeah, I have a hard time with that.
People've got opinions that they're entitled to those.
Okay, but make a comment that's not so castigating to a kid that is going to really, and a family member and a parent, like, that's going to be really upsetting and can.
Yeah, people could care less about that. I know I'm the same way when the Steelers lose, so.
We'll get to that later.
All right. I'm as pissed as anybody.
Wait a minute. Does that mean you go on social media and say Ben Roethlisberger sucks?
I don't, but I would love to.
But you don't.
But I don't. I show restraint. I show restraint.
Right. And you keep your private opinion to yourself.
But then sometimes I go on Twitter. I voice some stuff on Twitter that I probably shouldn't have.
And I'm going to say this too. While I don't like that either, I do think there's a difference between professional athletes and college athletes, right? And professional athletes can be targets because they make millions of dollars. And if, you know, some people assume, okay, if you're making $10 million a year, you better shoot 80% from the floor, or you better never miss a wide open target. Right? Hey, and then you have the gamblers too.
Listen. I always say, if the kicker loses a game, his job is to kick the ball through the uprights. That's his only job. Make the freaking field goal.
So wait a minute. So you were perfect from the free throw line when you played?
No, I know. It's a bad. Hey, and listen. Before the season started, we had a little thing where we all were just trying to do some camaraderie stuff, and we're in the football practice facility. And we're going through like football skills, agility, and we're doing some stuff. We play ultimate frisbee in there, you know, just small groups. And then we all kick the field. We all tried to kick field goals. I have a newfound appreciation for field goal kickers. I couldn't kick a 20-yard field goal. That is the hardest damn thing to do off a tee.
With no defense.
So I will never, ever talk about place kickers again.
I always make the point in sports, almost in every sport, you are going against somebody who's trying to stop you from completing your goal and your mission, right? Physically and mentally trying to stop you. Right. It's not like you get to go to your computer and somebody's trying to block you from walking to your computer to go write a letter or write if you write for a living or any other industry.
Right.
Someone's physically trying to stop you. There's an actual strategy. There's a plan. And you've got to remain poised in a very, very chaotic situation. That is not easy.
No.
Right? So
it takes a mentally strong person. Yeah.
Yeah, it does. And there's a lot of that goes into becoming a really, really good player. Right? Just being mentally poised and mentally tough. All right. The ACC is not as strong as it normally is rated. Right? This year. Big Ten looks really good. There are some teams across the nation that normally are extremely successful that are struggling. Michigan State, Duke, UVA. I'm missing a couple. Kansas State, who barely beat a team tonight. I think they lost to a Division II team.
Yeah, but okay, let me ask you. Of those teams you named, and I've looked at some of the, like Gonzaga and Baylor and Houston and Iowa, like those teams are really good this year, but those teams are all very old, Wisconsin's old. Like
the article about Wisconsin.
Say again.
You know the average age of the Wisconsin team?
Probably like 23.
It's older than the starting lineup of the Chicago Bulls.
So there you go. So now you got senior laden fourth, fifth year like players on these teams. They're old. And they should be good. And then you got teams that are young. In addition Tulsa beat Houston tonight. All right.
And I just sent somebody a text saying Houston has a good chance to go to the Final Four.
Hey, but listen, in a year where COVID and you don't get as much practice and teams have gone on pause and, you know, shutdowns for weeks and couldn't get in, and those younger teams have suffered for that. A lot of teams that would have gone on foreign tours and you get extra practice. And so we were one of those. We were supposed to go to Italy this year. So, you know, there would have been practices where you're getting competition to see what the pack line looks with these groups and how we're gelling off it. You just don't get that. So no excuses, but early in the year, you see where teams are struggling, and I think all of those teams will be different, you know, 10, 12 games into the season.
So T-Dubs, thank you very much for posting that, the upset alert or the upset posting of Tulsa beating Houston. I was watching Virginia Tech play Miami earlier, yeah, and both teams are fairly young. Some of them have experience, but there are a lot of freshmen and sophomores on the court. And I'm looking at and I'm watching the game, I'm like, they're making bad decisions. They're throwing the ball away. The defense isn't great. Guys are jogging back on defense instead of sprinting. I'd be having a heart attack if I were a coach. I was scared Larrañaga was going to lose his mind.
That's where I think having to learn how to win, having to learn how to, what was good in high school and AAU may not necessarily work at this level. And you got to figure out, like, I can do these things, but that ain't, you know, I need to improve in these areas in college in order for us to win. It ain't just be out there and I got skill and you know, I can take my guy off the dribble. And that looks good. But there are more things that you have to be able to do that go into winning and being productive within a college team in that college setting. And I think a lot of those things take time. Kids have to learn, you know, the importance of those little things.
We were having that conversation, I think it was either on our Sunday brunch podcast, Havlicek, T-Dubs, Zach Carey. I don't think W is with us. It's on our podcast, and I think it's been posted. And we were talking about, and I mentioned on the podcast, or I may have mentioned after or before, I can't, days have been crazy, right? I was in Oklahoma City for a little bit, got tested there and got tested when I came back to New York. I was mentioning, I said, high school kids aren't as prepared now as they were, right? And it's the AAU camps, which five-star and a lot of other camps where kids are going to, we're learning the game in the summer. It wasn't, they were just playing AAU, and the top AAU teams don't practice that much because guys are coming from other states, guys are in prep school, they don't have a chance to play together. And coaches, it's a race for a lot of the teams, and I'm not saying every team, for a lot of the EYBL teams and a lot of the other teams, it's a race to get the best player or the best athlete. And not many people are spending time and saying, this is how you play man-to-man. I can't tell you how many practices I've seen high-level high schools or coach college or high schools rather, or AAU programs, and I'm watching them teach defense, and I'm just shaking my head. I'm like, this is not how basketball is played. There's no college in the country that plays defense like you're teaching. This is absolutely unproductive and wrong, and you're not preparing kids for the next level. And it's like you said, working on things, and there's a lot of one-on-one instruction now, working on things that are not team concepts, right? The other issue I think that's causing college basketball to suffer a little bit is the kids who are going to the G League early, right? And the one and dones. So now those kids aren't going to the Dukes and Kentuckys or wherever. And those, and the kids who were at Duke and Kentucky may have been at a, whatever, a next level, a notch below. So I don't know.
Yeah, I'm going to take a different stance, Mark. I think the game is still healthy. I think it may just be different teams are now at the top of the class and not your traditional blue bloods. But I still think the game's healthy. I think that's good for the game.
I love
it. There's so much more parity. It's always been like the kids that are going to go to the G League, the handful, won't affect the collegiate game. I maintain that because only a certain few can do that. And I think programs are, you know, most coaches are going to recruit and get kids that fit into their culture, their system, their style. Then there are programs that just want the best talent they can assemble and then see if we can get them to mesh and play together. Well, you're seeing that that's taking more time. And that may not be for everybody. You know, some coaches, you know, some programs are okay with that. But I think the small things and the stuff that you were able to get away with in high school and AAU, you can't because the speed of the game is so much different. And I think kids that, like you said, do the individual workouts and all of that stuff, that's great. But if you're not playing the 5-on-5 and you're not playing against that caliber of player and that talent, the physicality, you know, because I think that's an issue. When you're going up against kids who are 22, 23, in some cases 24 years old, still in college, that's a physical difference from an 18-year-old coming in. And I think the physicality, the strength of players, and then the speed of the game, kids are having to adjust to. And sometimes that adjustment, some kids learn quicker, but some kids it takes a year or two to make that adjustment. Now, is everyone patient? That's the issue. Will everyone remain patient?
And I agree with you about 5 stars being spread out, not going to the traditional blue buds, like Stanford got one, Oklahoma State got your guy, Cade Cunningham,
yeah.
Right? But even still, like if you go back a couple of years and you say, okay, Zion, Cam Reddish, and RJ Barrett, if right. They decide to go to the G League, right? Duke might have recruited other kids, right? And the other kids who might have gone to Duke now aren't going to the schools a notch below, and Duke's still winning and they're still dominating.
There'll be a little bit of trickle down, you know, because of, again, but it's only like maybe 5 of those dudes, right?
5 guys, I think, 5 really good players, and if 2 of them are on the same team, change the
that changes the dynamic of that program. Right. You're right.
Yeah. Absolutely. Absolutely. Right. Anyway, I just contend still that going back to talking about the players, all these kids are really good. They're really good. Right. And even if UVA gets blown out by 25 to Gonzaga, listen, I would love to have played for UVA. I went small division one. I wasn't good enough to play at UVA.
Wow.
Right? It was my dream to play in the ACC wow. or the Big East, right, growing up. So I just want people to understand that and just be
no, those, no, and really those good. Kids are good. First, they're good people, right? They're good players, and they're giving us everything they got. And that, you know, and then again, we live with the results. I've been doing this a long time. And Tony always says, we'll live with the results. What we can't do is beat ourselves. And you know, that's where we've got to be better and grow. We, you know, turn the ball over. Can't beat yourself. You know, got a defensive rebound. Don't give them second chance points. You know, those types of things we got to control and be better at. get back in transition. Don't give up easy buckets. So that's where you eliminate the losing when you do those things.
So I made the point earlier, and you may or may not agree, that the ACC isn't as strong as it has been in recent years.
No, I don't agree with that. You know that. Our league put us up against anybody.
Right. Well, we can battle that off air. You guys go into ACC play tomorrow against Notre Dame. If it's not as highly rated as it has been recently, does that help you prepare down the road for potentially, hopefully, getting into the tournament in March? I think you guys are going to have be very successful in the ACC this year.
Well, we have to be. If we're not, there is no March. So, you know, this is where, these preseason games, these non-conference games, these are the games that you figure out where you are, rotations, lineups, blah, blah, blah. And now this is the meat and potatoes of this is why you're here. You're here to play ACC basketball. And so we're looking forward to the start. Good Notre Dame team. They present some of the same issues that Gonzaga did, quite honestly, with the ball screens. And, you know, you got five guys that shoot the three. They can all, you know, they're playing some small ball. So, but this is where now our folk, we just got to turn it up a notch. And our focus has got to be, all right, one game at a time, starts tomorrow, and, you know, let the chips fall where they may.
I watched them play Notre Dame against Michigan State early on, and Michigan State whipped them. I watched them play one or two other times. I know I couldn't see the game against Kentucky. Mm-hmm. They barely beat Kentucky. Kentucky had a shot to win at the buzzer. They play, I think, six or seven guys. I did not get to see them since they got the kid, the transfer from Santa Clara.
Trey Wirtz.
And I know he had a really good game.
He went for 20 plus against Purdue the other day.
27 or 29, yeah, against Purdue. And another game, he scored six. And they needed guard help. They really did, because their guards were playing 39 minutes a game, right? And they were even playing a walk-on, I think. And they weren't playing a lot of guys at that time, maybe six, but now with him, they're playing seven. How good is Wirtz, and how does he help them?
He's really good. He can shoot the three. He drives it. Good size for a guard, confident kid, gives him obviously more depth. But Bray's played seven or eight guys anyway, most of the time he's been there. So, he allows them to play small and move Leshesky to the five and not necessarily have to have a true center on the floor. You know, they're playing three, four guards and a mobile forward pretty much at the five, a stretch four as their five man most of the time. So, depth, experience, and just some confidence that he'll make shots and ability to score. And anybody who gets 27 in the game, that means he's capable.
Yep. I watched Purdue play earlier tonight and lose to Rutgers without their best player. Big Ten is tough.
Big Ten's tough. Big 12's tough.
Yeah. No, I was kidding about that. The
we're still the best.
Okay. All right. we'll debate that too offline. How have, since the game against Gonzaga, you have had two practices?
We what's today?
I don't know. Tuesday?
Monday, yeah. Tuesday. Mm-hmm.
How were practices?
Good. There was obviously attention to defense, but they were good. The intensity level was up. And I think guys are eager to get back out and get this taste out of their mouth.
Would you say practices were more intense than they had been? Would you say coaches were a little bit more tense, or?
There were a couple brush ups where we had to separate some guys, and that's, to me, that's a good thing. I'm an old school guy. You being from from New York, you should appreciate the Oakley, Mason, those dudes.
Those weren't exactly brush ups playing Oakley but
you needed a level of toughness, and those dudes weren't going to back down from anybody. And so we had a little bit of that. Again, like I said, I thought that was a good thing. And that stayed in between the lines, and we made sure it was only in between the lines. And, we had guys taking some ownership and barking at guys when they holding them accountable. So I think you'll see some intensity and a different level of competitive spirit.
Offensively, what's the game plan for tomorrow?
Take care of the basketball, one, and then try to just get good shots. We'll do what we do. We'll play our sides, our blocker mover stuff, and we'll play our motion. But we're hoping to be better in that. But then guys have got to be willing to go make plays and be aggressive and run the offense to score. And when shots present themselves, take shots but try to play with a freedom and not worry about mistakes.
All right, a couple of questions from our audience.
I'm ready.
B.L. Guthrie. Do we have the guys, the personnel to play sides?
Yes. We've got to be better at it, but we do. We've got the personnel. Okay. But there are things that we as coaches got to continue to hold them accountable to doing in order for sides to be productive.
All right. He's got a part B question. You're getting some tough questions tonight, Coach.
All right.
Seems like same guy. We have a lot of individual talent. Do we have the guys to form a team that can be successful?
Oh yeah, yeah. Again, that's our job as a staff to put those talented guys in positions to play together and gel. But we've got the nucleus for a good team now. Will we go out and do that night in and night out? Remains to be seen, but I think a lot of our issues are on the defensive side. And when we correct those and we're better on that side of the ball, you'll see a better UVA team on the floor.
Okay, this one's from TH3C. Nice to see Jabri in the game.
Yeah.
What was the motivation there? And has he been showing well in practice?
Yeah, he's been practicing. He's been putting in extra work. He's been he's doing his part. Obviously, he hadn't played a lot, but in that game, we were searching. We were trying to find a spark, and coach called his number and let's see what you can do. And he's got an ability to score the basketball. He's still got to figure out, defensively, where to be at times and to work on those things on that side of the ball. But from an offensive standpoint, he can create and get his own shot. And so at that point in the game, I think it was just, Let's see what he can do. If he can maybe make a few shots and stop the bleeding.
All right. This one is from Dubs to the Third. What immediate adjustments have the coaching staff emphasized in practice this week and prep for ACC play?
Well, the intensity and the energy, we were trying to get that up. And as a staff, you don't want to have to, you don't want to coach effort. And so we made it a point in practice that you guys are going to get after it. And we want to see that carry over. And I think you'll see a different focus defensively from our group. And then I can't give away all the secrets, but there's some things that we're going to do from a scheme standpoint that'll be a little different, both offensively and defensively.
Okay. Looking forward to seeing that. And Chris Havlicek, I'm sure, will be happy. All right. Last question from a man, Mason Bryan. He says, I know it's silly, but he wants to know, why don't we have orange numbers anymore? Do we need to change
numbers or orange jerseys?
I believe it's orange numbers.
Okay.
Orange numbers.
I'll do anything to get rid of that bad Gonzaga taste. So if we got to go get orange numbers, I'll talk to Althoff and make sure we get orange numbers. Whatever. We need good karma. You see, I got on my Final Four. I've been rubbing that mark. This has been on. I'm on this now 2 straight days trying to get the karma to come from that team. So if we got to go orange numbers or orange uniform, Tone won't do orange uniform. I've been begging him, but we lost, I want to say our first year, we had a neutral site. It was orange, and we were at Duke. And we lost in those. I don't think we've worn those since we lost to Duke.
Is he superstitious about it?
He says he's not, but there must be a reason we don't have orange uniforms.
All right.
So you think I'm going to leave it at that. I just know it. We took an L in those orange uniforms, and we hadn't seen orange since. So
I'm going to say... All right.
Well, you gotta have, you gotta have white for home and blue for road, but you need a little neutral site. Maybe that's what we should have worn. We should have wore orange, and it would have been a different, we were in Texas. That was neutral site.
Yep. And maybe we can get my man to draw up some nice uniforms, and maybe T Dubs will, my man Mason Bryan. And maybe he can design them, and then Tone might say, oh, look at these.
You know what, Mark? The crazy thing is, I'm looking at Ty's jersey, and I see the orange number. I wouldn't have known that the numbers weren't orange. Like, I haven't paid any attention to it.
Right. Yeah. That's something that T-Dubs pays attention to, and all the little details that I'm just like, dude, I just want to see a good game.
Right. Okay, I had no clue the numbers weren't orange, so that's news to me.
All right, good question then, Mace. It wasn't silly. All right, let's get to some fun stuff.
All right, I'm ready.
Pittsburgh Steelers.
Hey.
There's a smile.
Hey, listen though. After Saturday, I needed them to win Sunday. Like, that was a must win. But it did not look good early.
I was coming back from Oklahoma City. I get to the airport, and they're down 24-14. And I'm just saying to myself, please win for Jay Willie.
Hey, listen, it took a heck of a second half. And my wife, we're all watching the game. And she's like, why are you still mad? I said, I'm not mad. She said, yes, you are. She said, that game's over. You guys... She's thinking Gonzaga, right? I'm like, babe, I am not mad. See the Steelers score? You see how we're playing? Like, we got 20 rush yards for the game. Like, we still can't run the ball.
Would that have been the third L in a row?
That would have been the fourth.
Ooh.
So we're 12-3. We're resting Ben this week. And we're playing Mason Rudolph. So we'll end up... Cleveland's got to win, though. This is a must win. They got to win to get in. If they lose, we can knock them out of the playoffs.
Did Cleveland lose to the Jets last week?
Yeah. No. Who did they play? Yeah, they lost. They lost.
I don't know if it was to the Jets or not. For some reason.
Yeah, that's right. They lost because I want to say he fumbled or threw an interception late. And the Jets end up winning that game. Yeah.
That's, I think, the Jets' second victory of the year.
It took them out of the Trevor Lawrence sweepstakes, that's for sure.
All right, moving on. T-Dubs is my man, sends me gifts. My youngest son, Kobe, stole one of my sweatshirts, or maybe I just gave it to him as a present, wrapped it up. And this is another one T-Dubs got for me. Thank you, T-Dubs.
There you go. I hadn't seen that. That's new? Or he did that just for you?
No, it's new. A lot of people have it.
That's sweet.
Yeah, it is. I like it. The football one's really hot too.
What is this? Is that a beer? What is that?
Don't get me started.
Huh?
Don't get me started on that. Do not. All right, here's something that's also going to put a smile on your face. Another gift from T-Dubs.
What we got?
That, you know what? Not only are you going to be famous on the internet, you're going to be famous in New York City. Around 8 million people are going to know you.
What's that?
I'm wearing this while I'm walking around.
Oh my God. That is crazy.
Isn't that awesome?
That's awesome. You're not going to ever wear that outside of the house.
I can't because it's white.
Yeah, there's no way you're wearing that.
I'll be so mad if it gets dirty.
That is crazy.
I love this.
I got to get, hey, listen, I'm going to, T-Dub is listening. I need that to send to the fam, T-Dub. Mom and dad will wear that. And my sister would wear that every day. My sister, she's my number one fan. She'd wear that every day.
Thank you, sister. Watching. Jay Wills, I know it's getting late. You got to get some rest. What time you got to be up tomorrow for a walkthrough or whatever you guys have?
Yeah, I don't even know, Mark. Whenever Ronnie makes the wake up calls, we'll breakfast. We'll have a little walkthrough. Game's at 6, I think, if I'm not mistaken. So it's an hour earlier. So,
yeah. Well, we come on the air at 5:30 for pregame, and then we'll be on halftime, and then we'll be on postgame. Hopefully, talking about a UVA W. Right. Yep.
I'm gonna put it out there. I'm putting it in the atmosphere that you guys are gonna be talking about that. So we
appreciate that out. Absolutely. And I may try to come to the game on Saturday if I can get a press pass.
Speaking of, you weren't able to get to Fort Worth. You were in Oklahoma.
I know it. Ty had treatment. We're trying to recover. It was a battle. Should we go? Should we not go? And by the time he would have finished treatment, we might not have got there in time. So I would have been there rooting you guys on, win or lose.
So you're trying to come this Saturday for the Tech
game? Yeah, because I have to take Kobe back to school.
Okay.
So that's a big game, Virginia Tech, right?
Yeah, I'm pretty sure you know who to talk to get in the building.
I do, but I'm trying to get a press pass, so, you know.
Well, you know who to talk to.
So I can ask some questions too. Right. All right. Well, appreciate you always. Another great job. We got a really nice compliment by somebody. Really nice. Yeah. Just said you're so honest and real, and he loves the way you answer the questions and personal.
I try to. There's no secrets.
I'll send you the email or T-Dubs. All right. Very complimentary.
Hey, listen, what I say on here, we say to the guys, you know, and it's been said before. I mean, Tony has said stuff, and I mean, there's nothing new that I'm revealing. It's just.
I think sometimes he might be a little guarded and he doesn't share as much as you do. And he's known not to love the media.
I don't know about that.
Let me backpedal on that. Not that he doesn't dislike them, but he doesn't love being in the spotlight. He doesn't always want to be in that center spot.
Right.
Right.
But whenever I listen to his show, he shoots you straight. But that's the coach, that's the head coach talk. Maybe when I get my head coach gig, I'll revert the other way.
I'm expecting to be the dude that interviews you. Locker Room Access is expected to be the show on the Jay Willie Show when you're the head coach, and we hope you have the same personality and same.
Whenever I get my gig though, wherever it may be, knock on wood, I may have to keep you guys guessing too.
Okay. We expect you to reveal as much as you are now, and we appreciate it. That's why that gentleman gave you such a nice compliment.
I'm just being the real Jay Willie.
We appreciate that. All right, Jay Wills. Good luck. Best of luck tomorrow.
Hey, thanks, Mark.
And
hey, listen, by the way, how was Christmas, man? I didn't ask you. Good Christmas?
Good. By the way, I made this delicious dinner for me and Ty. And we shared a bottle of Hamas.
What was it?
So it was sweet potatoes that I made, sweet potato fries.
Yeah.
Beets. I made sweet potato fries.
You already lost me.
No, believe me.
Fries are good, but beets. Okay, go ahead.
Goat cheese, chicken.
Chicken. Kale, no rice. Ham. No ham. No turkey.
I don't eat pork.
No turkey.
I eat turkey. I made chicken. Can I have chicken?
Not for Christmas.
I don't think you should look at me with such disappointment.
Not for Christmas. You can get chicken anytime.
Listen, normally my Christmas dinner. But we didn't have normal Christmas this year, right? Ham, turkey, collard greens, macaroni and cheese, candy yams, stuffing.
That's what I'm talking about.
All right, but I'm changing up because, listen, I got to change. I'm trying to keep it slim. And the truth is, I'm not equipped to make that stuff. That's what my mother, grandmother, and all the you know, wonderful cooks in my family make.
You can splurge Thanksgiving, Christmas, and birthday.
Okay. You can splurge. That's fine. But I wouldn't know how to make that. And it was just me and Ty.
I just say I don't know how to make it. But don't, like, you lost me with the beats. No, I appreciate you. But listen, happy holidays.
I hope you had a great Christmas, too.
And it'll be a happy new year when we come back on, right? So it'll be after the new
Tuesday.
Year.
Yep. It's Tuesday after we go 2-0.
There you go.
An ACC play.
There you go. Whoa.
All right. Good luck tomorrow.
Appreciate you.
Talk to you soon, bud.
All right.